we go. Sorry about that. We are on the air and live. This is Glenn Coble again with A Progressive Life. Let me give you those names again that need to be in here today. By the time, I believe, by the time I'm out of here. And I'm out of here at 1 o'clock, and I'll hang around for about 10 minutes, and you can call me right after the show. Paula Sizemore, John Haas, and Ryan Garnow. You have won tickets, you need to pick them up today to the SOS Band or Midnight. Those are all three have to be out of here by my leaving today. And April Avery has won tickets to Bad Company and Foghat. Those you need to pick up by tomorrow around 2 o'clock. I believe that's when we go off live tomorrow. Okay, I think we've got everything rolling. I hope we do. I hope you're able to hear what's going on. I'm able to hear what's going on. We had problems yesterday with a similar problem yesterday in that we were having a little over talk, and we finally figured out how to get the transmitter to stop doing that. And so things are better today. Had a great guest on yesterday. Mike Larson, I'm sorry. I momentarily had one of those old man brain excuses. Mike Larson was on, and Mike is a, he's not a young man, but he's not an older man. And Mike is contemplating running for the position that I ran for last time. State representative in the 86th district against Tracy Richardson, who is the current incumbent. And Mike is was very open about his positions. Now, he hasn't finalized his decision whether he's going to run or not. And as a matter of fact, he said, if you can find anybody that would qualify and give her a good run for her money, I'd be willing to step aside. But I think he's pretty much interested in doing that. He's a good person. He's appeared on Jay Leno. He's a stand-up comedian. And he's a very funny guy. When you sit down and have lunch with him, you will not remember passing the time so pleasantly as with Mike. He's been active in helping mentor gentlemen from San Quentin, of all places. He used to live out in California for a long time. He would mentor them and help them move their lives forward. He helped Jackie Spears, who is the congresswoman from out there, and has been very active recently in her support of several of the candidates that are running for office. He also helped Janet Garrett. He was her communications director. And in both cases, really improved their ability to get out and talk to people. Jackie won her position. Unfortunately, Janet did not. But Jackie's in the Democratic heaven of California, and Janet is in the Democratic hell of the 86th district, which has pretty much been gerrymandered Republican only. It was an interesting thing. I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to speak to a lot of people about my position. Some of the things that made me mad and I know make Mike angry are racism and the hypocrisy of our current governments and lying, which is being being watched by, I believe it's the Washington Post, I'm not sure, but apparently our current president has had over 10,000 lies or misdirections that he has passed on. Of course, nobody is in favor of murder, but right now we have decided that we are going to bring back the use of the death penalty, which is murder, in my opinion. I would like to know the number of innocent people that have been killed by our death penalty. We are all, both Mike and I are violently opposed to the gerrymandering as it goes on right now. And both of us talked about the idea of gerrymandering should be, it should not be used by either party. And one of the problems that both parties have is if they make some outrageous rules that benefit them, eventually they're going to benefit the other side, and then they're going to start complaining how corrupt it is, even though they started it. And one of the things I listened to the gentleman talking about, who was complaining about the report, I always forget this, the name of the report, by the spy from England. For some reason or other, the name of the report escapes me. But he keeps saying it was paid for by the Democratic Party. Well, in fact, it was started by the Republican Party. Some of those things that we forget about conveniently are as big a lie as just telling an outright lie. The one of the things that we have really gotten into in the United States overall is voter suppression. And voter suppression right now, and I won't say always, but one of the things that voter suppression does is suppress minority voting. And as has been said many a time, the strength of the United States of America is our imports, our minorities, our the people that have come here, the Irish, the Italians, the Germans, the Africans, the South Americans, all those people have made the United States of America a stronger country. You can lambaste one group or another because they're full of rapists and illegals and people that do bad things, but it's been proven over the years, time and time again, that the immigrants that come into this country are a far better citizenry than the people that live here. So we've got to be careful about voter suppression. The more people that vote, the better, as far as I can see. Now, I understand there is no rule that says a person who is not a citizen should vote, and I don't think that non-citizens should vote. But people who live here and have lived here for a while, I think we need to allow everybody that we can the right to vote. And the last thing that both Mike and I think agree on is ignorance is not a good thing. And we seem to be reveling right now in ignorance. I hate when we say things that global warming is not true. 50 years ago, we would say that evolution was not a fact. And there are a lot of people that still believe evolution is not a fact. But I think we've pretty much proven both of those things to be a fact. And if you disagree with that, okay, I'll give you that. Go ahead and disagree with it. But I truly believe that future people in this world will have more and more evidence that both of those things are actual facts. Okay. It's kind of interesting also that the makeup of the Ohio Republican Party, the state representatives, is predominantly, and when I say predominantly, it's like, I'm trying to remember what the numbers were. I cannot remember the numbers, and I did do a little study on this. The numbers are 90% male, white, for the Democratic Party, and probably, it's far less. I mean, for the Republican Party, 90% male run that party here in the state of Ohio, whereas we're more like 50-50 in the Democratic Party. And I think we need to at least start listening to other people, because by the year 2030, we will be a majority party. I mean, the Republicans will be a majority minority. There will be less white Anglo-Saxons that are voting than right now. We one of the things our lives are like chapters in a book, and we keep on progressing forward in those chapters, and we need to keep looking around the corner, look for the new things that will help our children, that will help their children, that will help America. It's only good to be trying to be better. It's not good to try to go back to the old-fashioned ways that are not helping us at this time. And I really think we need to be more progressive, obviously. That's the name of my show. And I think we need to find out who we are so that we can move forward. One of the things that I was talking with Scott about before this show was marriage and how you have either a long marriage or you don't have a marriage, or whether you live with someone, and it's kind of an interesting topic. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about that today. If you don't mind, I'm going to talk about my marriage. I will. What is the date today? This is the 1st of August. I will be married 50 years on the 21st of December of this year. So my wife and I have been together a long time. And one of the things that Scott and I talked about is, you know, there are times early on in your marriage where you just wonder, why did I get married? I could have been free and do whatever I want to do and not do what she wants me to do, or what he wants you to do, or whatever the sex of your spouse is. And there is a time, especially early in marriage, that's kind of rough to get through. It's kind of, I miss my old freedom. I vowed when I got married, and so did my wife, and I believe in, if you take a solemn vow, you should honor it. I vowed to stick through thick and thin, sickness and health, all that sort of, until death do us part, all that sort of stuff, kind of romantic sounding words. And there were times, and there still are times, where my wife and I yell at each other. But you got to get past that. You've got to go in the other room and maybe mutter things under your breath about how you're being treated poorly. And if you stop and think about it, you will find out, if you stop and think about it, you'll find out that maybe you aren't totally right on everything, and your spouse may have the right idea. Or you may find out that you think you're still right. So talk about it. Don't yell about it. Definitely don't hit. That's kind of stupid. I was a spare your rod type father, and sometimes I'm kind of ashamed that I spanked my children. Hitting is not good. Hitting, especially a 220-pound dad, hitting a 100-pound or 30-pound or whatever weight the little one is, you can do some serious damage. One of the things that I was cautioned by my wife early in our marriage, we'd probably been married, I probably had, my eldest was probably 10 years old when she said to me that I shouldn't be spanking all, and I didn't spank a lot. I only spanked when I thought it would change the outcome of the behavior. But I didn't think about it. And I would spank quickly and say I was sorry later. One of the things my wife insisted that I do is if I felt that one of my children needed to be spanked, that I should tell them to go to the room for 5 minutes and I'd be up and they'd get their spanking later. And so they had to wait 5 minutes to get their spanking. What a reward. But that's what we started doing. And what that did is that helped me calm down. It had nothing to do with the child. It had to do with the child in me. And my wife used to say, and still does occasionally, say, who's the child here? Who's the adult here? And so I would make them go to their room, and I didn't realize until much, much later, my eldest son told me probably within the past 5 years, and Dad, you know, the worst part about that was that we had to wait, and that was more punishment than the spanking, and I really didn't spank very hard. I would spank one time, and it was kind of hard, but the second time, I had already forgiven them, and the third time was hardly, I very rarely did three spanks. It was usually once, and occasionally it was twice. I'm not proud of that. I think we should go back and reconsider it. Corporal punishment doesn't seem to help much. However, it does focus the attention on good and bad behavior. You don't want your children to behave badly. And you and I, we all know what bad behavior on children is. And it doesn't necessarily mean talking out of turn or anything like that. But bad behavior like hurting another child or not doing something that you were expected to do. I always felt that it was important to teach my children to be responsible to what they said they would do. And if they were not responsible, that would kind of irritate me. So anyway, that's kind of the way I handled my kids. And that's part of the problem of being married for 50 years. If you're married for 50 years, most likely you're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how many ever children you have. The more is not the merrier. We had 3. My daughter has 4. I can definitely see that when she went from 3 children to 4 children, her life got a lot more complicated. Not that it's bad. It just got more complicated. And I just spent 3 days out with my daughter in North Carolina. My wife spent 3 weeks out with her. And sitting with them, we used the 3 days I was there, we were up every morning, went to softball games, went to swim meets, went to all sorts of athletic things and things that kids do. And never had any time for ourselves. And most of the time, we ate dinner at 8 o'clock. Carol and I are used to eating between 5:30 and 6:30 or 6 o'clock, and to wait till 8 o'clock was kind of frustrating for us. Then in the morning you'd get up, and everybody had a different schedule, so you had to eat at different times, different foods. It was a mess. And then nobody ate lunch, it didn't seem like, except for yours truly. I always find a fast food restaurant. But that's kind of the challenge of being married for so long. And I think before you decide to get married, you either make a long-term commitment, or there are a lot of people that think you shouldn't commit at all and just live for yourself. I find that one of the joys of my life, probably I've noticed it more now that I've been retired, is that I'm able to say to myself, I really like that lady. I really enjoy being with her. And I think she's a smart, good-looking, personable type of person. And I'm really glad that I married her. There are days where I go, why in the world did I marry her? She never lets me do anything. But usually the stuff she doesn't let me do, it's probably not good for me. Drinking alcohol is one thing. Spending too much money is another thing. Not honoring my pledges to my children is another thing. She keeps me on my toes on those, and I've gotten very good at cutting way, way back on any alcohol consumption and cutting way back on not being responsible. I really think that she has made me a better person. She was gone for 2.5 weeks. When we came back from California seeing my youngest son, we went directly to North Carolina, and I dropped her off for about 2.5-3 weeks. And during those 2.5-3 weeks, I came back here because of I had radio show responsibilities, and I have fish, and I had a garden, and I had to mow the grass, and, you know, all the responsibilities that you have when you own a home. So I came back here. And I'll tell you what, it didn't take more than 4 or 5 days, and I realized I really wish that she was here. One thing, she is she's a much better cook than I am. She also does the laundry, which I tend to stack up. Laundry and dishes, I tend to stack up. As a matter of fact, for the last 3 times that we've done this, I've gone out and bought paper plates and spoons so that I don't have to do the dishes very often. I absolutely hate washing silverware. I poke myself with the knives. I poke myself with the forks. The spoons are the only things that I like to do, and they're the one thing that I use the least of. So I buy cups too, so I don't have to wash glasses, because I'm not real fond about sticking my hand down in a glass and worrying that it's going to break and I'm going to cut my finger. Anyway, marriage is one of those things you have to learn to give and take with your partner, because you will find out if you don't, you will not be getting much from your partner. Your partner will kind of turn you off. And turning a person off isn't necessarily a bad thing. There are times that we all need a little peace and a little quiet. As a matter of fact, after I retired, I was not very comfortable because I was home 7 days a week, and I didn't know what to do. And so I went to a psychiatrist, and I was told the idea of taking a day where you just go out and do what you used to do. And what I used to do was mainly PR stuff. So I would go out and talk to people, get away from the house, drive the car around, do things other than sit around the house and do yard work. And I found that I was much better off by doing that. My sense of self worth started to move back up. And I found that one of the reasons why I ran for office is because it gave me something to do that gave me some self-worth. Even though I knew the chances of me winning that election were not very good, it gave me an opportunity to get out and speak to people and profess my sincere beliefs in moving forward and caring for other people. And that really made my life worthwhile. I'm trying to think what to do now. I've thought about running for office against Mr. Jordan, but I pretty much put that on the back shelf. I may be helping Mike, who talked with me yesterday. I may be helping him run his campaign for state representative. I'm not sure if he wants me or not, but I think he does. But I may be doing some things like that and doing the radio shows. I'm not getting rich doing these. I'm not even getting anything doing these radio shows. I just enjoy doing it. It gives me the opportunity to continue doing something, moving my brain. So I think that's important if you want to live a long time with the same spouse. If you don't want to do that sort of thing, don't get married. Or if you, as a younger person, sometimes sex is the only thing that you're concerned about, and that's why some people get married, and it's a bad reason, because that excitement only lasts a few years, if that. You know, it may only be a few months. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that there's always grass is always greener on the other side, right? Especially for a male, men seem to be much more promiscuous than females. I don't know why that is, and I'm sure it's not true with all males and females. That doesn't last. So if that's the only reason why you want to be with a person, maybe you ought to think about not getting married. I think marriage is wonderful, but I think you have to be mature about marriage. I think you have to, and when I say mature, you have to think about why you want to get married. If you have no reason, if it's just sex, or if it's just money, some people get married for money, or if it's just you get lonely, those aren't really good reasons. The good reason is, and I'm not a big fan of saying I'm in love with somebody. I know what the feeling of love is. I have it for my children. I have it for my wife. I have it for my family. But I'm not sure that love is something that you have for only one person all the time. So I think I'd be real careful of just saying the reason why I got married is because I'm in love. I do love my wife, but that's not the reason why we've stayed married for almost 50 years now. The reason why is because we have mutual respect for each other, and we care about what the other person worries about. I feel brokenhearted when my wife is disappointed. But I do feel joy when my wife sees her grandchildren and loves her grandchildren. She loves them far more than I guess I outwardly love my grandchildren. But I love all children. For some reason or other, I have the gene in me that says you must love young children to help young children. I just love that. I particularly like young children that I don't have to put to bed at night. I guess that's not a good thing to say, but I like my casual contact with young children, not my permanent contact with young children. However, the three best things that ever happened to me in my life were having my three children. I am so proud of all three of my children. Of course, there are things that I'm disappointed that happened with my children, or disappointed that my children have done. But believe me, they're disappointed with Dad for as many things as I'm disappointed with them for. One of the things, as you get older, you start to realize that some of the things that you loved when you were young don't matter at all. So you've got to be understanding that life continues to change. And the key word is progress. It doesn't stay the same. If you think you can sit on the couch and bring back 1950 and President Eisenhower, I have another thing coming for you. You cannot bring things back. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We've done all sorts of progressive things over the past years that we don't think about when we talk about what it was like back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, however old you are. Well, polio, I think I've mentioned that before on the air. Polio killed people. It was a horrible way to live in an iron lung where you just sat there and looked at a mirror and got nothing done during that day but breathe. And I'm going to take a real short break. Let me give you about 20 seconds to think about that. All right, we just had one of our listeners stop in and pick up her Zambezi Bay tickets. Boy, that's hard to say when you've been talking for an hour. I'm sorry we went dead air there for a few minutes, but I don't have a receptionist today. I had to respond on my own. I hope that you aren't offended by my feelings about marriage. I'm not a big fan that marriage is made in heaven. Of course, if you know my religious beliefs, you know I don't believe in heaven, so therefore it can't be made in heaven. I do believe there are some heavenly thoughts that come when you're married. The thought that I would do anything for my wife to make her happy if I could. And I don't mean give her a new car every week, and I don't mean tell her she's the most beautiful woman in the world and give her diamonds and minks and stuff like that. Those things are so superficial that they're not even worth talking about. The things that you give to your spouse are just the main thing is respect. And consideration and listening. Listening is something that I think is underrated. Like I've told you before, my dad was a Methodist minister, and Mom and my brother and sister and I sat on the second row, second pew, on the right side of the church every Sunday morning. And if my dad saw us not listening, now occasionally, if he was doing some things that were not his sermon, he wouldn't mind if we drew little pictures on the back of the bulletin. But during the sermon, we were almost required, and he never made it a verbal commitment, but we were pretty much required to listen. He wanted us to know about his beliefs. And so we did do that. But I think listening is probably one of the most underrated skills especially in America. And it's absolutely not known in some countries in the world. Listening is not something you do or you expect people to do to you. It's something that you're government expects you to do. You must listen to them and do what they say. Listening is, in the United States of America, listening is a democratic thing to do. You can listen to somebody, and you have the right to judge whether it's right, wrong, has some merit, has no merit. And that's the type of listening I think that we all need to do. Now, I've talked about this several times. Part of having a good 50-year marriage, and I hope I have an additional several years beyond that. Don't plan on... I tease my wife all the time that after we've been married 50 years, I'm going to trade her in for two 25-year-olds, but I don't think that's very funny. Well, yes, I do, but she doesn't, so I won't tell her that. But after 50 years, you've got to have respect for each other, and you need to treat each other with kindness and understanding. And that listening, as we talked about, listening is the easiest way to put what your partner thinks right into action. When my wife came home, she didn't say to me, "How come you didn't mow the grass?" Well, I had, but she didn't ask me things to catch me on things. She listened and asked, "What did you do while I was in North Carolina?" And we talked about it, and I told her all the different things that had happened. She may not have cared, but she listened respectfully, and then I asked her, "What did you do?" And she talked, and I listened respectfully. Some of the things I didn't care whether she did it or not, but listening is kind of a way of saying I love you. And like I said, I'm not a big proponent of using the term love all the time. I love it seems to be something that we have gotten into the habit of saying, "Love you, love you." That seems to be overstated many times. Maybe if you'd say, "Like you," or "I care about you," or something other. Love is, in my opinion, love goes much further and actually further and shallower than the term. I say shallower because I believe that we really love very few people. I think we love, and this may be the male in me, but I think I personally loved my parents. I loved my brothers and sisters, and I love my children, and I love my wife, and I love out to a certain extent some of my family members, but many of my family members I like a lot, but I can't honestly say I have the same feeling that I have towards my wife or my children. To say I love you to everything really kind of annoys me. Oh, well, that's just me. You'll have to excuse me for being that way. I haven't had anybody stop in and pick up those John Haas, Paula Sizemore, or Ryan Garnow. If you will give me a call in about 10 minutes after I get off the air, we can arrange how you can pick up these tickets, and I hope you do. April Avery, I wanted to remind April, you have tickets for Bad Company and Foghat. You need to get in here by tomorrow at 2:00 to pick those up. Yesterday I gave the wrong tickets to a young lady, and that's why I had to get off the air there for a couple of minutes. And not a couple of minutes, about 30 seconds. We had dead air because I had to take care of giving her the right tickets. I gave her tickets to one place, and she had actually won tickets to Zambezi Bay. So anyway, I hope that my rambling today, and one of the reasons I told Scott before I went on the air today is going to be one of those days where I ramble. And Scott happened to bring up the idea about people who had been married for a long time and people who didn't like to be married, and people that wanted to live together, and all the different arrangements that we have. And I thought, now maybe I will give people the experience of being married for 50 years. I'm 73 years old, and been married for 50 of those. So I've been married a lot longer than I, almost twice as long as I was not married. And I remember as a kid, and I'm saying a kid, as a young 20-year-old, I remember feeling kind of dirty because all I did is run around. I did have a lot of girlfriends. I did do some crazy stuff. And when I married my wife, I was so pleasantly surprised that I didn't feel kind of dirty, or not dirty so much as kind of unfulfilled. Now I had a reason for being somebody that was somebody. I think we all want to be somebody. And if you're married, that's the nice thing about being married, especially if you're in a happy marriage. If you're in a happy marriage, then you are somebody to that person that you're married to. And if you have children, that makes it doubly as happy because you have children that think of you as somebody. I've often thought that that's my goal in life, is first of all, to be a good example to all three of my children and my grandchildren, but more so my children. I will admit that I care for my children almost as much as I care for myself, and I'm pretty proud of myself. But anyway, I care for my children, and I think the things that I wanted to do, and I've always wanted to do, is care for my kids and my family and my wife, and she is part of my family, of course. But I wanted to be able to teach them how to live, how to treat other people with kindness all the time. I don't mean just when it's convenient, but treat people with kindness. My father and mother, as a minister and his wife, always treated people with kindness. Even those people that I knew they didn't really care about, they treated them with kindness and respect. And rarely ever when those people left did they say bad stuff about them. Now, I'm kind of guilty. If somebody really annoys me and I'm kind to them, I try to be kind to everybody. I'm kind to them. And if they leave, sometimes I will tell to the person that I'm with, yeah, that person really annoys me. And that's not a good thing. I'm not recommending doing that. But I wanted to teach my children to be good human beings. That's kind of why I like to be a progressive. And right now, I think being a progressive and being on the Democratic side of the aisle, I think is a lot more caring than we have been in the past. Anyway, I hope the last thing I wanted to do for my family is I would like to teach, and I hope it doesn't come soon, I would like to be able to teach my family how to pass into the next whatever with dignity and honor. When I go, I don't want people saying that guy was, I'm glad he's gone. I want people to be saying, that's too bad. He was a nice man, and I will miss him. Anyway, I hope you have a good day today. I'm going to sneak away from here now. And you've been listening to A Progressive Life. This is Glenn Coble.
Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels. Alexander Hamilton is going off the $10 bill in 5 years. So long, Alexander. And he is going to put a woman on mayor on 2020 on the $10 bill. And this summer, they are going to poll people in the United States to see who should go on there. But it will be the first woman on the currency in like 120 years or something.
Well, the women that they